This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today is another solo show, and I'm going to be talking about the lessons that I've learned while I've been in the launch process of SEO Hive. So if you're not 100% sure what SEO Hive is, SEO Hive is a white label SEO service for digital agencies to help them deliver SEO, but also to build their retained income, so to help develop recurring income in other agencies. This is a product that I launched with Jeff Patch, who runs MaintainPress, and we launched it on April the 1st this year, and there's a whole story about where that came from, and you can find that in episode 89 of the this podcast, so I'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes, and I'm not going to run through the whole story about where it came from and what it's doing and all that kind of thing. You can find that in episode 89. But needless to say, that story culminated in a bit of a rush to get a productized service live as fast as we possibly could, because we had the feedback from our target user group that this was something that was really going to help them at this time, through this instability that we've got in the global economy at the moment through coronavirus. It was going to be a way that agencies could easily start to demonstrate additional value back to their customers, and even in this time of uncertainty, start to build streams of recurring revenue in their businesses. And by recurring revenue, like I mentioned in a previous episode, I'm not talking about low value kind of hosting or domain renewals or that kind of thing. I'm talking about proper business stabilizing recurring revenue of retained services. And that service that we help you with is SEO. So to be perfectly frank, the last 6 weeks have been a complete roller coaster. From seeing the first launch it launched on April the 1st and the first few orders come in, to rolling into a platform now where we're supporting 26 or 27 agencies at last count throughout the world. And we are supporting 42 or 43 websites, somewhere in that region, in 6 weeks has been... It's been immense. It has been completely I've not really got the words for it. It's been a roller coaster. It's been humbling. It's been challenging. There's been a lot of work that's gone on. We've had to revise a lot of things, not because we didn't prepare them in the first instance, but because with real data and real clients going through it, things are a little bit different to how you imagined it would be, and all of that kind of stuff. So I've got five big takeaways from the last 6 weeks, and I wanted to share those with you in this podcast. The first thing was that launching the service actually wasn't all that hard. Launching a productized service has always been something that's in the back of my mind for a reasonable length of time now, for a couple of years at least. And I've tried different models of doing recurring revenue through a open quotes productized service, close quotes, with different ideas like mastermind roundtables and subscriptions to courses and that kind of thing. And truth be told, I could get the whole product side of it, but it was the sort of systematization, the productization, bringing that to market, where the value needs to come in, the system behind it, not so much the processes, but the system in place, all of that kind of stuff. And teaming up with Jeff was brilliant, because he's done that before with MaintainPress. So my first takeaway was launching a productized service wasn't that hard, as long as you have someone there that knows how that process works, that's been through that before. Now, I suppose the caveat I'd put on that in this podcast is that SEO is quite a complicated thing to productize, simply because there's lots of moving parts. So if you're thinking about producing your own productized service and there's fewer moving parts, then actually it probably won't be that hard at all, and you'll just sail through it. Because of the steps involved, the processes, the levels of complexity that we were trying to break down, for me, it was really, really useful to have somebody that's been there and done that before, albeit on a slightly smaller scale, but we could work through it together. And the different approaches and mentality as we put this thing together were it was just brilliant to experience. Jeff's an awesome guy to work with anyway, but his knowledge when it actually came to how the system could work, or ideas that were triggered when I'd sort of say, yeah, but it'd be great if we could do this. No idea how we're going to do it. And he'd figure it out. That was awesome. Point two, however, is kind of the exact opposite, which is launching a productized service isn't that easy because you need to model all of the eventualities. And this is where I suppose we were caught, not caught short. No, nobody's had a bad experience. Nothing's been forgotten. Nothing's been, we've not had a complaint come through, anything like that. But what we did find quite quickly was that we were able to identify where there was holes in the processes that we'd pre-written ahead of the service launching that we were going to have to patch quite quickly. And that's just because, you know, when you're writing these things and when you're running through them together, or we were running through them together, when you're running through them as a test run on the first time, you've written it. You understand how it works. Any test that you put in at the beginning is influenced by the fact that you know what the next few steps are. And then when you give it to a new client who doesn't know what's coming next, and you start to get some creases in the input, you start to get things that are slightly irregular. We had some questions about whether we could start working with sites that aren't yet live. Well, that's not something that we'd ever thought of. It's not something that we'd ever presumed somebody would want to do. So we had to go and address that. So launching, it's not that easy either, because what you really need to do in order to test this thoroughly is get some proper cold traffic through, understanding that they are guinea pigs. Maybe that's because there's a financial incentive, or because you're offering an extra level of service or something. But you need to make sure that you've water tested it, essentially. And because of the expedited process we had for getting this thing live, that didn't happen as thoroughly as it could have done. Now, what we've done with that is we've been perfectly open with our clients. We send out regular email newsletters, and we've just been upfront and said, look, we brought this to market very quickly. You are part of this journey, and it's a privilege and a delight to have you with us. What that means is we're going to be tweaking things as we're going along, and I'm going to mention some of those things in a point coming up. The third thing has been more of a personal sort of reflection, I suppose, and that is that I wasn't necessarily prepared for the lack of commitment to productized services, or there's less commitment to productized services than you may think. That's maybe a fairer way of putting it. In our agency, we work really hard to retain every client, to make sure that hard-won client is going to be maximized in terms of the return to them and the return back to us for the work that we put in. And of course, we want exactly the same for SEO Hive. But the reality of it is that when you're doing a lower priced model, when you're doing a lower priced productized service, you're going to get some tire kickers coming through the door. Now, we've not fallen out with anybody. We have had some people cancel their agreements with us, or their service. That's not a problem. We've always left on amicable terms, and there's been a very good dialogue between us and the agencies that have left. But what it's taken me some time to get used to is this tire kicker mentality. Some people are going to register, and you're going to have that elation of a new sale and what that's going to mean for your business, et cetera, et cetera. And then 9 days later, you're going to get the cancellation, and you're going to think, hang on, what have we done wrong? And the reality of it is you've probably not done anything wrong, or there is something that maybe could be a bit better, but it's not catastrophic. But people were just testing the water to see what it was like. So that's something I've had to overcome. This hasn't happened a lot. We're talking about maybe 3 or 4 times in the last 6 weeks. But it feels a bit weird. For me, it felt a bit strange. And I'm sure I'll become more and more hardened to it, I suppose, as time goes on. But I don't want to lose that drive. I want to keep on delighting all my clients. So that's a bit of a personal one. But if you're doing this, you've got to be prepared for that. That there is going to be a churn to your customer base, and that is natural. And it's going to start quite quickly because not everybody is committed in the same way. Largely because I think because it's a lower value of money that we're talking about. The fourth thing is, it reinforced the fact to me that you just cannot communicate enough with your clients. Now, I know that sounds a bit daft when we're talking about recurring service, because surely you talk to your clients a lot. And we thought we did. We thought we'd put lots of communications in place. There's dashboards, there's live chat, there's updates, there's monthly reports. We thought we'd put a lot of communication in there. But again, this was one of the results that came through by actually putting live clients through the process, was that what we thought was enough wasn't enough. We were probably only about 75% of the way there. And we've had to revise the way that we do things. So we've done that in two ways. The first is we'd set up a dashboard using a project management system called ClickUp, which every client gets in their account on our website. And that means that in one place, they can see all of the tasks for every client that they have registered with us. They can see the statuses, they can see who's working on it, and they can feedback any comments if they have them. Perfect. We'd intentionally kept the tasks quite generic because what we didn't want to clutter the dashboard with hundreds of tasks. It wasn't so much an issue if a client only had one website in there, or maybe even two. But by the time you started getting up to four or five websites in the dashboard, having too many tasks made it look quite full and sort of took away from the simplicity that we were trying to achieve. What's become apparent, however, since we've launched the service, is that those generic tasks that we put in, that the generic tasks had kind of maybe two or three processes or two or three tasks in our dashboard behind that, they weren't giving enough feedback back to the clients. So where they may see one task and we may see four, we'd be beavering away at all four, which would then keep their task at a status for a longer period than they were happy with. So they'd start asking questions. Again, nothing derogatory, nothing bad, just, hey, can you give me an update on this? So we decided very early on, like 10 days in, that we were going to become far more granular in the way that we structured the tasks in their dashboard. And that was going to make it look fuller, but it meant that they could see things far more regularly moving through the process. And because of that, they're getting status updates in their email, they're getting more chance to talk to us, and doing all of that. So that was the first thing that we did. The second thing that we did was to make sure that we were proactively asking questions of the agency. We'd kind of assumed that because they were coming to us, they sort of wanted a done-for-you service. So we'd get as much information as we could up front and then, look, just leave it with us. We'll get on with it. And as I said, there were mechanisms to communicate in there, but that actually you wanted to leave us to get on with it, and that was it. The reality of it is that people want more communication than that. They are bothered about what's happening with their clients' websites, of course they are, or with their own websites if they've registered their agency website with us, and they didn't want that kind of hands-off sort of service. They still want to be involved in the process. I suppose it's a little bit like having an extension built to your house. You whilst working with a client, they don't necessarily care how the process works. Because you're the agency, you do care how the process works. You want to understand it so that you can field those questions back to your client. And I get that. I get that completely. So we've increased the way that we communicate with our clients. And then the final thing I've learned is the benefits of owning and running a productized service. And now this could be a podcast in its own right. It could go on forever, but I'm just going to summarize it by saying that having that defined scope and having the expectations all mapped out and laid out, so knowing that this is what the monthly expectation is, this is how much you're paying, the payment is automated, and we are delivering on X, Y, and Z dates each month, that makes life so much easier for both sides of the table. It's brilliant for communicating expectations over to your clients. Of course, you need to make sure that those expectations are communicated, that they're clear, that people have understood them before they sign up. And that is one of the challenges we had. We thought we'd presented things clearly on the website, and actually we needed to break them down a bit more. That was fine. But also it means that for you as the person running it, you are able to sort of systematize your life a little bit as well. You know exactly what the expectation is of you, when it has to be delivered, and then you can factor that into your own workflow. And of course, both Jeff and I have other businesses that we're trying to run. So we've had to restructure our working life in order to accommodate both businesses. So in my case, obviously, it's my agency and SEO Hive, so that they both run effectively. And that's taken a little bit of personal sort of tugging and pulling too, and making sure that they are running seamlessly, that they're running smoothly, making sure we've got the teams in place on both sides, and that communication can happen freely. And I've put a process in life in my day to make sure that happens. If anybody's bothered, contact me in the Facebook group, and I'll explain how I do it. It's still a work in progress, but it's something that I noticed really quite early on. Otherwise, I was just going to sink in work and emails, basically. So that's it. They're the biggest takeaways I've had, and I'm so delighted that I took the leap to do it. I was very, very nervous the day that it went live, which, after running a podcast and launching a few things like this, I'm still surprised how nervous I get. It's like an excited nervous. I can't wait to get this new thing out there. And at the same time, I desperately don't want it to fail. It's one of those things. And I've got to give a shout out to Matt Davies, who was brilliant on the couple of days leading up to launch day and the sort of week or so after. And he still checks in with me from time to time just to see how things are doing. And to keep me calm. Maybe he could sense that I was getting a bit worked up, I don't know. But he's been a top bloke, so thanks, mate. I really do appreciate you you supporting me in that way. So that's it. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/099. And if you'd like to have a conversation about SEO Hive, about putting the product together, about running it, about how I structure my day, dive into the Facebook group, peteeverett.com/group, or search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast, and you will find us there. I look forward to seeing you next time for episode 100. That's right, we're going to make it to three figures, the three-figure club. Here we come, episode 100, ready next week.